Zuma, Zuma, Bacala. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. Whew. Well, you know, I do a lot of interviews, a lot of them globally, and all around the world, people that interview me can't believe what's going on in the States with El Presidente Trump. And people that, you know, go to a party or just meet people randomly, whatever it might be. And politics comes up, and I hear things from my so-called liberal friends. Oh, how they miss Obama. Oh, when they hear the word Trump, they get nauseous, they get sick, they can't take it anymore. And then I start saying things like, well, it was so great before. Oh, it was great. Oh, and then I start putting facts in front of them. Oh, you mean the 4,000 people that Obama slaughtered with drone strikes, the innocent people? The Libyan war that he launched? Killed between 30,000, 40,000 people and destabilized an entire nation that was the most prosperous in Africa. The war that he and Hillary Clinton launched, along with Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, the Arab Little League, killed over 500,000 Syrians, displaced half the country's population. You mean that, Obama? You know, I don't want to talk about this. You know, please, Gerald, I don't, you know, oh, you don't want to hear the facts. No, let's not talk about it. I hear this all the time. People are trapped into their belief systems. They're like little children. I shouldn't degrade little children. That's not the proper analogy. They're like stupid people that are gutless. They lack the courage to call it what it is. Everybody that I talk to that hates Trump, misses Obama, and believes things were so wonderful. So now we have Hitler over there making the circuit. And here she is talking about why she lost the election. And how she blamed it on the FBI director. Blamed it on everybody but herself. Well, she did actually when they finally asked her, do you take any responsibility for this? And she said, oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And, of course, they blame misogyny playing a role. Well, read your Trends Journal, folks, and you will see that misogyny had nothing to do with it. We analyzed the election right at the day after it was over. Wrote about it extensively in the Trends Journals, Trend Alerts, Trends Monthly. History before it happens. What happened was, eh, The guys, the people that voted for Trump, the mail vote, it was essentially the same mail vote that came out for Romney back in 2012 on the Republican side. So no, it wasn't more male voters. And of course, Clinton claims she lost the election due to misogyny is refuted by the fact that the exit polls show the Democratic Party lost votes of over 1 million working class women from 2012 to 2016. So they don't hate Hillary Clinton because of her gender. It's because of everything that she represents. The arrogance. A murderer. Oh, you remember that clip? Google it up if you forgot. It'll make you feel good. Secretary of State Clinton asked on CBS, corporate broadcasting system, how did you feel when you found out Muammar Gaddafi was dead? We came, we saw, he died. Where are the people with the white jacket to take her away? The Democratic Party, when her husband took it over, was going downhill before, started going downhill under Johnson with the Vietnam War, murdered over 3 million Vietnamese, 60,000 of our people, ruined the lives of hundreds of thousands of other young guys, poisoned the country. Jimmy the murderer Carter, supporting the Taliban to get Russia out of Afghanistan, and Russia there, of course, to stop the Taliban. And Afghanistan was doing pretty well up until that time. And Jimmy Carter, the guy that gave us the Mujahideen to also overthrow Russia. So the Democratic Party, Russia and Afghanistan, that is, is a disgrace. All it does is represent the privileged upper middle class. Nope. The privileged upper class, not even the middle class. And it's now become nothing more than a party that talks about sexual preference, plays the race card, gender card, and transgender card. The Democratic Party does not represent the working class anymore. Clinton lost because of who she is, an arrogant, murderous politician of the same Republican and Democratic mindset that has destroyed this country so well. I'm now back being an activist citizen and part of the resistance, Clinton said. And the crowd responded with applause. Activist citizen and part of the resistance? And this is the moronic attitude of so many of these hypocritical, gutless, courageless Democrat / liberals. Activist resistance. Oh, you mean you're the one that wanted to put a no-fly zone over there in Syria, huh? Oh, that resistance? Hitlery? Oh, no, you mean the Libyan war. Hitlery? Oh, you're the one that also pushed for that, calling Putin a Hitler, right? Yeah. Ah, if only women were in charge, playing the gender card. You look at the polls, you look at the data. Trump beat Clinton in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan. Democratic strongholds in presidential elections for more than 20 years. Because under Barack, the con man Obama, hoping change you could believe in. Yeah, small change. Change of a penny. Percent of the wealth created since 2009 went to the 1% or the 1 to 5%. Numbers keep changing. The people living in those states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, run-down cities, once thriving, rusted-out rust belts, people with lousy jobs and no future. That's why they voted for Trump. Yeah, that Obama. That's right. I created 10 million jobs, folks. Yeah. He gave us the folks. 95% of 94% have to be accurate of those jobs, according to the Harvard Princeton study. Are temporary jobs. But hey, you liberals. You know, one of the reasons why Hillary lost, she found out all that money she was getting from the Goldman Sachs gang. Yep. And they got Obama picking up right in those tracks. Oh, the people over there in Wisconsin and around the country, Michigan, Detroit, is the look at the place, trying to believe it's making a comeback. All over. These rundown places, Cleveland. Lousy jobs, rotting inner cities. While Obama goes out and makes $400,000. For being interviewed for 90 minutes by cable network news. And another $400,000 for appearing at a healthcare conference organized by, excuse me, members of the White Shoe Club over there, Wall Street Boys, the investors, Cantor Fitzgerald. $800,000 for BSing. Hear them BS for free. Where are all you liberals? Oh, and Hitlery, I know you got more votes than Trump. You got them from the left coasts. New York. Massachusetts, not all of it. California, that whole area. That's where you got the votes from. But the working people in the dying middle class America, They want no part of you or Obama. Because as people are focusing in now with their crocodile tears for Hillary losing and her saying that she got more votes than Obama, remember, I did win by more than 3 million votes than my opponent, she said. So it's like, really? If he wants to tweet about me, I'm happy to be the diversion because we got lots of other things to worry about, she said. Hey, liberals, cowards that believe in your killers. It wasn't only Hitlery that lost. You lost the House big time. You lost legislatures throughout the country. And you're still minorities in the Senate. But those are only facts, but we won't talk about those. Yep. Here you got Obama, community organizer that organized nothing, now on his way to become another multimillionaire. Oh, and I love it. Now everything Obama says, the media covers. Excuse me. Obama aims to spark leaders. Quote, I'm spending a lot of time thinking about what is the most important thing I can do for my next job. And what I'm convinced of is that although there are all kinds of issues that I care about, yeah, like what? Like what? Murdering people? Quote, I'm really good at killing people? Is that the one that you think about? Maybe that's what you miss a lot. Maybe those wonderful vacations. And all kinds of issues that I intend to work on, the single most important thing that I can do is to help in any way I can to prepare the next generation of leadership, to take up the baton and take their own crack at changing the world. Oh yeah, you went around with that baton crap, campaigning more than any other sitting president for the murderer that you wanted to put in to take your murderous shoes. And the people didn't want to pass on the baton of murder. They tell you what you could do with that baton and where you could stick it. Oh, and we need leaders, boy, oh boy, because we're too stupid to lead ourselves. The word is morality. And the nation has lost it for a long, long time. War after war after war after war, discrimination, a police state. Hey, how about that cop that shot that kid in the back of the head? They were drinking. They were underage kids, and they was drinking. That didn't make the front page of the papers. No, but there were riots in Paris, and a policeman was set on fire. That was a front page photo of the New York Times, Financial Times, Wall Street Journal, and the Western media. But hey, you shoot a little kid in the back of the head, 15-year-old kid doing nothing. Yeah, drinking underage. Yeah, no kidding, Jack. Anyway, you can see what's going on here. I am so happy that Donald Trump is president. I'm thrilled. No. There's nothing that he's doing that I approve of so far, other than, of course, renegotiating. The trade deals, I'm in favor of that. I'm happy because he is the perfect symbol of what the system really is. You see, when you had a fraud, a con man that did it so well like Obama, he was able to cover it up. And now Trump's exposed it. And that's why I'm happy that he's in. The fraud is showing what the fraud is. And Obama and all these other trained politicians that lie so well with their arrogant attitude is gone by the wayside with Trump. It's down the city this past weekend. What a disgrace, that joint. Another clown, that de Blasio, another arrogant boy with another attitude who's never worked a day in his life. What a disgrace that city's become. It's like a ride through Calcutta, the potholes everywhere. Ugly buildings going up. You know, they used to have, when New York City was growing, when it was the model of the world, before World War II, and the whole Art Deco scene was being created in France, and the Americans were going over there and picking it up and bringing it back. They had setbacks on buildings so that when you built them taller than the one next to you, you set them back as they went higher so that sunlight would come in. Not anymore. Not anymore. One ugly piece of glass crap going up after the other. The sidewalks, the streets, it's a disgrace. Potholes, steel plates. And how about that subway system, talking about a ride through Calcutta? Lawsuit claims city subway discriminates against disabled riders. It discriminates against human beings. Power failure at one station snarls subways far and wide. Well, that was a long time ago. That was April 22nd. Yeah, we're here in May. Nightmare commute, power problems, strand subway riders, create major delays. Yep. Power outage slammed San Francisco, leaving 90,000 in the dark. Traffic jam at nation's crossroads. In Chicago, unclogging bottleneck of freight trains and commuters is a $4.4 billion effort. Oh, $4.4 billion effort. You got wars to fight. You got $100 million shot down the tubes after Trump just shot 59 missiles into Syria. You want $4 billion? Oh, don't forget the mother of all bombs. And again, I find that very gender prejudice. I want to see the father of all bombs. Why, I think it's misogynist to call it a mother of all bombs. Because we could be stupid and go on forever. Matter of fact, why don't we call a protest? Hey, there's one every week. We could march against calling it the mother of all bombs. That did nothing, by the way, according to all reports. Other than get some military guy off. Chicago's densely populated neighborhoods, grinding local politics, and a host of infrastructure issues have created some of the worst rail backlogs in the country. In 2003, trains could take as long as 43 hours to crawl through Chicago, in some cases at 5 miles an hour. So they go on here and talking about Amtrak warns of big disruptions as repairs ramp up. Yeah, Amtrak. Penn Station, huh? You want to see how stupid and ignorant the politicians are? Look what they did to Penn Station. Look what they destroyed. This beautiful Beaux-Arts work of art. They tear it down and put up an ugly piece of crap. You know why? Because the high rollers don't take the trains. Nah. They got their helicopters. They got their jets. They're not subjected to the crap that they dump on us, the little people, because it's a neo-feudal society. Special laws and privileges for the political nobility and the economic elite. What a disgrace this country's become. It's ugly from top Trump to the bottom. Look what they've done. Oh, they made a big deal about dragging that guy out on the airlines. Yeah, guess what? Why shouldn't they drag him out? They feel you, pat you down, and x-ray you. We got to get them terrorists. I'm down the city. They had this, it was around 38th Street on Sunday. And there was this that parade. I don't know what the hell it was. But they had a float from Azerbaijan, something about Iran, and he's blaring music out. Ah, brah, brah, brah. Everything is so loud and stupid. And there's these cops, boy, with their all this gear on, with these automatic weapons standing there. Grow up! What do you think, they're going to come out there and start shooting with you in front of them? If they want to do something, Jack, they can pull it off somewhere else. If they want to do something, they don't have to do it in an airport or in front of you. Duh. One stupid, moronic leader that Obama wants to create in the future to lead us down the hole toward hell that they're turning this country into. All of these protests that added up to zero. Zero. Listen to all the things that they're protesting about, and I'm not making this up. The environment, yeah, sure, great. I'm all in favor of a better environment. After all, they're killing us. Gender issues, race issues, great. How about no war? Any protests about that? Not like Occupy Peace. Nope. Does not happen. Very, very, very sad. Again, you go back. You look at the great Art Deco period I was talking about. When did it happen? It happened between wars. It happened at a time of peace. It happened when there was creativity. It happened when there was beauty being created. So, when you see what's being created now, and you go back and look what was created during a time of peace, it's a whole different world. And by the way, there's a great exhibit at the Cooper Hewitt Museum up on 91st Street and Fifth Avenue that I went to. One of the best I've seen in a long, long time. And you look at some of these pieces, particularly the drawings. and I shouldn't say particularly, but you want to talk about futuristic. In many ways, it's new, more futuristic than thinking about artificial intelligence, virtual reality, and the whole new world of technology, robotics. It's more futuristic than it is right now. It was a time of peace. And the beauty in the dress and the elegance of the design. And then the other thing I keep noticing when I go out, particularly down the city, is once upon a time people used to be dressed. And now people just show up as if they just got off work on a construction site. I had a friend of mine, she used to talk about a father. He's a sanitation worker in Brooklyn. And he used to go to work with us, all dressed with a jacket and tie. And he'd get there, change his clothes in his locker, put on his sanitation outfit, and dress back up and go home after work. Always dressed, always elegant. So if anybody wants to call, talk about what's going on in the world, have any questions, I prefer questions the most, feel free to call 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And of course, if you want to subscribe to the Trends Journal to read history before it happens, our website is trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And if you want to call to subscribe, it's 845-331-3500. 845-331-3500. Trends Journal, it's only $99 a year. Besides the Trends Journal, we put out a Trends Monthly, Trend Alert, nearly each week. Trends in the News broadcasts, which to put you ahead of the news and on top of the trends, rather than the garbage that they continually talk about. It makes no sense at all in terms of what's going on in the world that's going to affect us. So, as we look around the world, see what's going on, I want to just look at some of the news events of the day. Trump and Putin agree to pursue ceasefire in Syria. A constructive call, but U.S. and Russian accounts differ. President Trump reopened direct communications with President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia on Tuesday and sought to reignite what he had hoped would be a special relationship by agreeing to work together to broker a ceasefire in war-torn Syria. Yes, war-torn Syria, torn apart by the United States and its coalition of the killing. And of course, the Russians are there. They were invited. The United States and its other murderous groups are, in violation of international law, bombing a sovereign nation. But American and Russian officials offered divergent accounts of their interests in establishing safe zones in Syria to protect civilians suffering from relentless six-year civil war. Six-year war started by Barack the murderer, I'm really good at killing people, Obama, and Hitlery, we came, we saw, he died, Clinton. A White House statement said the two leaders had discussed such zones to achieve lasting peace, the humanitarian, and many other reasons. The Kremlin statement made no mention of safe zones. And Mr. Putin's spokesman said they had not been discussed in detail. How sad it all is. How sad it all is. Now we got some callers here. How about Habu from Wisconsin? Hello, Habu.
Yes, hello. Good morning, Mr. Salente. I've always maintained that the best public service President Trump has done is to expose the ugly underbelly that is America. But here's my question to you. What do you make of him recently, just this weekend, saying that he would be honored to meet or speak with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and also this calling Putin recently? Is he trying to show his true self before being subsumed by the deep state? What do you make of it?
You know, I'm all in favor of him. I mean, why not talk to your adversary and try to iron it out before going to war or going to court? It's really no different. And when you read, by the way, Habu, the account in the New York Times yesterday, or this past couple of days, of Trump reaching out to talk to the North Korean leader, it was one criticism after another. That, you know, how stupid, essentially, that would be, and how that's wrong, and on, and they quote, of course, all the murderers from the Obama administration and other murderers that are opposed to it. So I'm all for it, as well as with Putin. So we're getting a mixed message. But that's what you get from Trump. So I don't know where it's going, because this guy keeps, as a friend of mine keeps saying, you know, that it reminds him of, you know, taking shots at windmills. And that's all he keeps doing. So I don't know. It started off, those were the things that I was in favor of him and when he got elected. So I don't know.
Well, I'm off. I'm in agreement with you, and I also think that's the right way to proceed against. Shouldn't use the word against in diplomacy, but we really don't know what is going on, and that is probably his modus operandi, to always keep people second-guessing.
Yeah, I think it is. But again, he doesn't follow up. I mean, you look at what happened again, whether you agree or disagree with the new budget proposal. I mean, on most of the issues, he lost. And by the way, Anthony Frieda, who's our illustrator, look him up, F-R-E-D-A, anyone that wants to. He's a great illustrator, not only ours, but we use him for the Trends Journal. And he put me in touch with an architect friend of his that designed a border wall. I'd invest in this border wall. It's solar panels. Think about putting a wall up of all solar panels. If you want to put a wall up. So now you're creating energy. And you want to talk about paying for itself. I think it's a great idea. And by the way, I'm in favor of, why not have a wall? I mean, why? Look, if they're going to check us in and look at our information as we're flying into countries, and if we're not legally allowed to go in, they'll turn you away. Why should we not prevent illegals from coming into this country? And again, nothing to do with, you know, race. I'm totally opposed to that. I'm opposed to a border wall that represents what it did during the Great Depression of keeping people out of the country until we rebuild ourselves. And so, you know, when you hear people like Nancy Pelosi, you know, bragging that Trump lost this round with the latest budget battle. You know, and she tells how deplorable that wall is. I don't see it deplorable. So going back to Trump, I don't think he's second guessing. I think it's what he's doing is showing how ineffective he really is. And to me, that's what this is. Do you have any other comments?
Thank you. That's all.
Well, thank you for calling. Always good hearing from you. And of course, we got John from Englewood, New Jersey.
Good morning. Is it still morning?
It's still morning.
There's a little delay there. Okay. You know what? I called up. My hair on my neck just stood up. Because 10 years ago, I proposed, they were talking about we need sovereignty in the United States, blah, 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 da, dee, da, da. They were talking about building a wall, building a fence. And I suggested, I sent a letter to almost every one of my Democratic Congress people that we should, in fact, define our borders with either a combination of solar panels or wind turbines, whichever is most appropriate for that particular part of the country. Then we could, in fact, put up a fence. I hate to say this, but if you were going to go this way, electrify it with the very power that we create from the wind turbines and the solar panels. Aside from that, it would also promote small towns being built all along our border towns, so that we could service this definite way of creating clean power and protecting our country at the same time. I didn't get one letter back. I didn't get anybody who could even say, hey, that's a good idea. Nothing. We're dealing with a bunch of criminals. That's what we're dealing with. As far as Hillary Clinton getting into office, you called me a conspiracy theorist, where I called up with a poem called Conspirators All About 9/11. And you said to a friend of mine, you referred to me as a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe that I'm theorizing these conspiracies. They are going on so much you can't even keep up with them all. That's part of the problem. I'm losing my train of thought. But the bottom line, as far as Hillary not getting elected over Donald, she got a phone call at 3 a.m. before the results were in. They said to her, sorry, Hillary. Donald said he would do it for half the cost. Good luck next time. That's what I believe, and that's the kind of conspiracies that I think is going on.
Okay.
Other than that, I hope you mentioned something about your conference that you went to in Ireland.
Okay.
Other than that, I've said enough. Have fun.
Okay. Thanks so much. Yeah, the conference is it's pretty complete right now, so we're not taking in any new people. But thanks for calling. And again, I'm not saying, when I say conspiracy theorists, I'm not demeaning people. What I do as a trend forecaster is I have to stick with the hard facts. And I understand there are hard facts that people, you know, keep going back to with 9/11, for example. But once I get into that, and I talk about that kind of thing, the people that don't like to hear what I have to say then accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist. So I stay away from that. And that's why I don't get involved in it. And we have Gino from Belmont. Is that Belmont in the Bronx?
Joanne. Good morning.
Good morning, Gino.
Hi. Listen, Joanne, first of all, I want to say congratulations for doing the practice of the meditation to keep you sane and putting out there for ways of us to stay in touch with our heart in the midst of all this deprivations of spirit that we see all over the place. See, Gerard, between you and the facet you come from in the Diamond of Life and Gary and others like Daniel Sheehan, he's had on, I'm sure you're familiar with Daniel Sheehan.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, he's a lawyer who represented Karen Silkwood. He was responsible for the Pentagon Papers being released because he read the 43 volumes. He's a humble guy. Grew up, got a scholarship for I think it was Harvard, and still in touch with his heart. He was up there at Standing Rock with the Native Americans. He's really gifted in the brain, but he stays in touch with his spiritual nature. And he revealed who really runs, you know, the realm. I mean, Gary had him on 6 out of 8 weeks in a row, and he was even quiet the first two shows. So when I hear who really runs the whole thing behind the people we see, these people, the way I see it and the way you show them, they don't believe that, you know, the invisible realm is real. They don't believe karma is real as much as gravity. And there's only one person I know that even Gary was going to do a documentary, but it kind of went off the tracks a bit. He mentioned it about 3 years ago. He hasn't done it yet. That the most prolific figure I know that's been documented is a man you may know of, Edgar Cayce.
Oh, sure.
The Sleeping Prophet. He's the most documented man America has ever produced, written. Everything was documented for 45 years. Everything he said, diagnosing people at a distance, given up by doctors, just a name and an address, eventually used by Franklin Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla. Speaking of Tesla before the using the sun's powers. And there's a man named Sidney Kirkpatrick. I'll be going to Virginia Beach, who wrote the best biography, the most documented one. He went to disprove the information about Cayce because the school assistant was insistent, knowing he was a New York Times writer, he would maybe write something. He said, listen, lady, anything that sounds that good, if I investigate it, it's not going to, you know, it won't stand up to the scrutiny. I challenge you, she said. He went to disprove it. He fell in a rabbit hole. He signed for a book deal for 2 years. He so much information on computer, everything being categorized. I mean, there's like 10,000 topics under the sun he talked about, that he ended up doing 7 years of research, wrote a beautiful book, An American Prophet. He will be speaking in Virginia Beach in a few more weeks there, once a year Congress. I think I know him enough. I've seen him twice down there. I think I can get him, if you're interested, I can get him to possibly be on your show. Because why I get to this point, and I've been looking at things very strongly for 43 years, who are the great spiritual teachers, the antidote? Because when people are in touch with our spiritual nature, we are capable, and as is displayed with all the information you show, we are capable of going less than the animals. Because they just do things, the harmful ones, to survive. We do things out of sport. We do things out of ego, pride, greed. You know, like Gary said yesterday, you know, even if it was 1% tax, they wouldn't want to pay it. The ones who have half the world's wealth, they're competing with each other. And they don't believe that the karma is as real as gravity. And the only man I know to show that, it's been documented, to validate that the spiritual world is real, is this man. So I think that the people like that, and they're very few, just like the Teslas or the Da Vincis, they're very few, and the attention is not put on these people, because otherwise you just go around in circles talking about these evildoers, and how did they get like that? And it's like Hitler, you know, he could have been an artist, but his teacher discouraged him. Instead of putting that angst on the canvas, he ended up putting it on the world. That's the value of teaching.
You know, what I'd like you to do is go to the website, or you could, is the contact information.
Right.
It's trendsresearch.com, and my email's right there.
Okay, so
what you can do is just email me, send me the information, and it also might be somebody that could write something for our Trends Journal as well.
Oh, great. Well, I'll be down there in a few more weeks in June, the middle of June, and I'll be seeing him, and I'll mention it to him if he's available, if he'll do it. I'm sure he will. And then I'll get in touch with you, and maybe something could be lined up, because truly, Gerard, somebody who's been looking 43 years. I'm from Belmont, Little Italy here in the Bronx.
Yes, sir, I grew up in near Allerton Avenue and Boston Post Road.
Yes, I know. You know the neighborhood.
Dion and the Belmonts.
Right. That's where he comes from.
What's your favorite Italian restaurant over there?
Well, I tell you, I'm a vegetarian for the last 43 years, so I don't really frequent them too often. I'm down in the city on the weekends, but they're all pretty good. I mean, Pasquale's, Rigoletto's,
Mario's. The whole area's changed so much.
Yeah. Ann and Tony's, I do go there occasionally, so they're all still great. And, of course, Bugatti, and you can't go with the cheesecake once in a while I get from Tussauds, you know, in the indoor market, you know the neighborhood.
Oh, so yeah, it's still happening.
Matter with the
fact,
food.
I also love going to the botanical gardens in the Bronx.
See, we just had a telepathic moment because I was about to say when I heard you start that that's the one thing that Chaz, who's from the neighborhood, Palminteri, the Bronx Tale, left out in that movie. When there was a love interest between the Italian fella and the African-American woman, I wish he had put them in the botanical gardens to show the people still living there. Get out of the neighborhood. Go where,
so beautiful.
Like Michelangelo says, nature's God's artwork. Get out to the gardens. Feed your spirit. And that's the only thing I would say about that movie that it could have been added to. But, yeah, this is the neighborhood. So, listen, thank you for your work.
Thanks a lot, Gino.
Okay. Arrivederci.
You're breaking up on me over here. So, thanks a lot. Yeah, I love the botanical gardens in the Bronx. And, matter of fact, last week I went to the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, the Cherry Blossom Festival, the Japanese exhibitions that they had and presentations. So, it was terrific. And again, I'm a firm believer that beauty, joy, and elegance is the antidote to fear. So I try to live it as much as I can. Well, I want to thank everybody. We have some more callers, but I won't be able to get to them today. We have David and Eve from Edgewater and David from Brooklyn and others. But the next week we'll call. We only have a few minutes left. And I want to wrap up with some of the other news going on, because that's what trends are. It's tracking trends is the understanding of how we got here, where we are, and where we're going, just kind of like our lives. And the where we're going is that on the market front, gold is just broken below the 1250 mark, which is an important element. If it closes below that, it's barely below it. We're going to see more of a crack, we believe. The big news today in the financial news is we're going to be waiting to around 2 o'clock this afternoon to see what the Federal Reserve comes up with. And there's a over 60% chance that they're going to raise interest rates. Should they raise interest rates, you're going to see gold prices go a lot lower in June. Again, but they're the wild cards, and the wildest of the cards is Trump, and the wildest of wild cards is war. So more of that will bring gold prices up, unfortunately. And the other issues to look at are the markets. And as we're looking at the Dow, it's down just a bit, some 15 points, but it's well overvalued. The price-to-earning ratio right now is at 2004 levels. Not as bad, of course, as the dot-com bust or the panic of 08, but approaching that. And as we look at what's going on in the world, the bubbles are building. Right now in Australia, there's warnings of a housing bubble, particularly in Sydney. Housing bubble crisis building and bubbling over. At some point, it's going to happen in China. I'm going back to all of this because of interest rates. Australia's kept interest rates low. China's been raising them a bit. But the United States bubble has been built on low interest rates. And now the Fed's coming out later today. We're going to see what they're going to be saying. Excuse me. And how that develops will determine a lot of where the market's going. We are forecasting a 10% decline in the Dow. When will it happen? It's hard to tell. But it's overpriced as we see it. We do not give financial advice. We're trend forecasters. On the broader issues, looking at what's going on in the world and how to change it, talking about so much of what we've been talking about, and that is, of course, the parties. And there's a great quote from Kierkegaard. He, meaning Christ, did not want to form a party, an interest group, or a mass movement, but wanted to be what he was, the truth, which is related to the single individual. Therefore, anyone who will genuinely serve the truth is by that very fact a martyr. To win a crowd is no art. For that, only untruth is needed, nonsense, and a little knowledge of human passions. But no witness to the truth dares to get involved with the crowd. So there you have it. When people say they're members of a party, the collective, the interest group, the mass movement. You don't need the mass movement. The mass will follow the movement of truth. So this is Gerald Celente. Figgi mia cutterara, mamma mia, pensaccia tu.